Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and we're going to spend the first portion of our program today talking with you about the artifacts of Wisconsin. And you may have some artifacts at home, maybe some that you've squirreled away from a long time past, maybe some things that you found or parents or grandparents found on your property. Whatever the case, I'm pretty sure you're going to be interested in today's program. Or even if you don't have any artifacts like me, for example, you're going to enjoy hearing about the artifacts of Wisconsin as we visit with Danielle Benden, academic curator at the UW-Madison Department of Anthropology. And she's the lead organizer of the second annual UW-Baraboo Sauk County Artifact Identification Day. It's Saturday, May 2nd, coming right up. It's from 10 to 3 at the cafeteria there, the Joel, you know, and I'm having trouble with the pronunciation of the...
Joe Wankerall.
Wankerall Cafeteria. Admission is free, and you're going to, I tell you, it should be a lot of fun. The other guest we have with you today by phone is Tom Plager, who is Dean and Campus Executive Officer and Associate Professor of Anthropology, Archaeology at the UW-Baraboo Sauk County. Danielle, well, welcome. Thanks for giving me a little help there on the pronunciation.
Thanks for having me.
And Tom Plager, thank you very much for being with us today. Really appreciate it, Dean Plager.
Oh, thank you, Larry. It's a great opportunity to be with you today and with Danielle.
You know, when we're talking about artifacts, what are we really talking about here? I know most arrowheads come to mind almost immediately, Dean Plager, but what else?
Well, technically, artifacts are anything that are intentionally produced by human beings or their ancestors. And in the case of Wisconsin, we're primarily interested in Native American, particularly prehistoric Native American artifacts. They're the primary means for studying prehistoric cultures in Wisconsin. Prior to the arrival of Europeans, Native peoples did not possess writing to record their own history in this area of the world. So the only way that, or one of the only ways that we can study their past is by collecting and analyzing and using bits of information, in this case artifacts, to interpret prehistoric cultures.
And Danielle, this is the second annual event now that we have coming to the UW-Baraboo Sauk County campus, Artifact Identification Day.
That's right. Yeah, this is just one of many events that are going on throughout the month of May. As you mentioned, May is Wisconsin Historic Preservation and Archaeology Month, and so there's many events going on, and I'd be happy to give the web address to the Historical Society that lists all the events going on throughout the state. But we had about 125 people come last year, and we hope there'll be more participation this year. But we basically just encourage the general public to come out and bring their artifact collections for identification. There'll be archaeologists on hand from UW-Madison, UW-Baraboo, UW-La Crosse, and the Wisconsin Historical Society. So there'll also be local area collectors and institutions like UW-Madison Department of Anthropology, the Sauk County Historical Society, and the Wisconsin Historical Society that will display artifacts that we typically find in Wisconsin, too. And then finally, there'll be flintknapping demonstrations going on throughout the day. So if you're interested in learning how to make stone tools, this would be a really great event to attend as well.
Oh, so there's lots going on. So you really don't have to have artifacts of your own to
show up. Not at all. And it's free and open to the public. And if you're interested in archaeology, this would be a great event to attend. If you've got collections that you'd like to learn more about, how old they are, if you'd like them identified, please come. Bring your artifacts, and we'll be there to help.
And by the way, if you'd like to join in with a question today, I haven't given the phone number yet, so let me do that right now. If you'd like to join in, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. The other thing you can do is email us, and the email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you, so call us with your questions or shoot us an email, and we'll be glad to get you on with that. The response, pretty good last year for the first time around, Dean Plager.
Yes, we had a large number of people come out from Sauk County and the surrounding area, and I think this event is a good example of the Wisconsin idea of bringing the resources of, the, in this case, the University of Wisconsin system and the State Historical Society, or the Wisconsin Historical Society, out to the public to engage them about learning about the past. And it's been my experience that the general public is very interested in learning about the people that preceded Europeans here in Wisconsin and are generally excited to come in and learn about what archaeologists know about the cultures that preceded the European colonization in North America.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, tell you what, every one of our lines here is pretty well filled up, so let's take some calls. Bruce in Milwaukee's up first here. Bruce, hi to you.
Hi there. What a great idea. I've never heard of this, of having experts look at all the rocks and things we've found in our backyards. I have a piece of granite that's about 3.5 pounds, and it's about, I don't know, maybe 4 inches, but the top of it is shaped in such a way that you can hold it in your fist and you hold it kind of down, and it's like you could pound something, like mash up corn or something with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's there's like a little place for your thumb, kind of, and I don't know if this is just a natural phenomena that happens to fit my hand or if it's a... It's so rounded, you know, it's so curved that it looks like it was something that you would pound something with. And is there such an implement that you were holding your fist and kind of pound down with?
Well,
made out of, it's a piece of granite.
Piece of granite, okay.
I could take a
stand ahead.
This time. We do see a variety of types of grinding tools that are for processing nuts. And other probably vegetable type material, also for grinding pigment. You could have something like that. It's difficult to identify something like this over the radio.
Oh, sure.
But generally, archaeologists are able to identify stone tools. They're very easy to examine and identify the intentional process that went into manufacturing them. Occasionally, we'll see some things that are odd-shaped rocks that sometimes people think would make a good tool, but they're difficult to tell in this case without actually seeing the piece in person.
Right.
But there are tools like this, what you're describing, that are used for grinding and processing of foods.
Okay. So if I took a photograph of it and, you know, emailed it to somebody, I might be able to get an opinion. I can't get to Baraboo.
Sure. There are a number of options. One, if you go to the Baraboo, the UW-Baraboo Sauk County campus website, which is www.baraboo.uwc.edu, and there's a link to information about the event this weekend. You can also find my name and email me that item, and I can take a look at it for you. Or you can bring materials into archaeologists in your area as another opportunity of contact your local university or local museum to ask if there's somebody there who would be interested in taking a look at this item.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it, Bruce. And Alan in Stockbridge, we turn to you now. Hi, Alan.
Hey, how's it going?
Great, thanks for calling.
I was just wondering, there's some rock sculptures or rock carvings off of Rock Island in Tippador County.
Yes.
And I was wondering if either guest had any idea of any meanings behind it or, you know, which tribes may have did the work or... You know, any kind of history of it, I guess.
Tom, are you familiar with that?
I know there are a number of petroglyphs in the Door Peninsula, and there are two types of rock art that we see in Wisconsin. Petroglyphs, which are carvings or engravings, and pictographs, which tend to be paintings or drawings, and they tend to occur on rock overhangs, rock shelter surfaces, and there are a series in Door County. We don't know the specific age of those. Most of the rock art in Wisconsin likely dates to the last several thousand years, but could date much earlier. And probably predates modern ethnic native groups. But it's difficult to date because if it's carved into a rock surface, there isn't something that you can radiocarbon date. You would need to do some type of excavation associated with those with that artwork to get some idea of its age. But we know that prehistoric peoples made artwork for at least several millennia in Wisconsin, if not even going back further in time.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of rock art in the Driftless area of Wisconsin, but a lot of these sites are not public.
Mm-hmm.
One of the sort of centrally located public rock art sites is in Rocha Cree State Park. And so if people are interested in seeing rock art in the state, that would definitely be a place to go.
That's good.
All right. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. And let's turn to Mike in Genesee next. Hi, Mike.
Hi there. I was calling. I don't have anything to show you, unfortunately, but my father, who grew up in the 30s and the 40s in Elkader, Iowa, along the Turkey River, tells me of a story when he and a friend had found a Native American pipe. And unfortunately, they both wanted it bad enough that they struggled over it, and it was ruined. But I was curious if you had any inkling of what Native American tribe might have been in that location to leave such an artifact.
Hmm. Tom, you think you're...
Sure. It's probably, again, prehistoric, which may precede modern ethnic Native groups. So it'd be difficult to connect it with a specific modern historic Native population, although it's possible. Without seeing it, it's difficult to tell. But we know that smoking pipes in our region make an appearance as early as 2,500 years ago. So
wow.
Smoking pipes have been used by Native peoples over the course of 2,500 years, and this particular artifact could have been made by a number of cultures that date within that interval of time of 2,500 years ago up until modern or historic Native peoples occupied the landscape.
And the shape of the pipes changes through time, too. So
okay.
By getting a look at it, we might be able to narrow down that time frame a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now you made me feel worse, but thanks anyway.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. We have some open lines finally again, so you can join us as we talk with our two guests today, Danielle Benden, who is academic curator at the UW-Madison Department of Anthropology, Tom Plager, dean and campus executive officer, an associate professor of anthropology, archaeology at the UW-Baraboo Sauk County, visiting with them today about the artifacts of Wisconsin and certainly talking about their Artifact Identification Day event, which is coming up Saturday, May 2nd. So looking forward to that chance for you to bring in some artifacts, or if you don't have any, to come to go and take a look at the ones that will be there. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking Artifacts of Wisconsin with Danielle Benden and with Tom Plager. Today, I'm really pleased to have them with us. And again, join in with a question at 800-642-1234. Jim and Nasita up next. Hi, Jim. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. I've got some questions on some rocks that were found in the area where I grew up.
Okay.
They're kind of hard to describe. One's it's sort of oblong, but it is split. It's been damaged. And it's got almost what look like eyes carved in it.
Okay.
And I've got a smaller version of that that's about fist size. And then I've got a couple that have between quarter and half dollar size circles that were carved into it that are, like quarter inch deep and perfectly flat bottom. And it's the same type of rock as a stone elephant.
Okay.
And they were found about 15 to 20 miles from there.
Again, it's really difficult to judge what this might be over the radio. I'd have to see a picture of it. But sometimes you can get some really different kinds of rocks that are water-worn, or you might think they might be an artifact, but really they may be naturally occurring, or they may have some weird sort of shape mm-hmm. to them. But as Tom had mentioned, by looking at it with a trained eye, it's really easy to tell if something was made or modified by a human, that it's an artifact or not. So, again, I'd have to take a look at it to really give you a clear idea.
Well, they were definitely not water-worn. They were looked at by an anthropology professor at Whitewater, and he was dumbfounded. He had no idea what to think. He'd never heard of any Indian society making anything like this. I had the one that has since disappeared was probably not quite medicine ball size. And it had the circles, they were a little bigger on there. They were probably silver dollar size. And there was seven circles arrayed around the rock.
Hmm.
And they were absolutely flat, bottom, quarter inch deep, you know, and just all around this rock.
Hmm.
But, well, again, I'd encourage, as Danielle mentioned, to bring this in to have someone take a look at it. And if you can come into the campus this weekend, we'd be happy to take a look and see what you have.
Yeah, that's it sounds really interesting. So if you can all do it, why, get over to the campus there, the Baraboo Sauk County campus, at and have somebody take a look at it. How many people are actually going to be there to help with identifications, Danielle?
There'll be about five archaeologists on hand, and then we're also bringing students from each university, each campus, to assist as well. So it's nice that way to encourage the students to participate too.
And I'd like to comment, what's a great thing about this type of event, it's an opportunity for the public to learn, but it's also an opportunity for the professionals to engage in recording new sites and learning about our region as well. We have every time we have these types of events, we have people come in that bring in artifacts where we're able to identify new archaeological sites, and in some cases this leads to preservation and future research, so it's a win-win situation for the public and for the professionals as well.
Someone emailed in and says, why should I share my collection with professional archaeologists?
It's a great question.
All right. Danielle, take a crack at that.
Well, I mean, archaeologists are interested in looking at material culture and putting the pieces of the puzzle together to identify all of these things that occurred in the past. And when something is missing, if you think about a crime scene, for example, you're looking at all the evidence to determine what might have occurred. And when artifacts are sort of missing from that picture, it's hard to put the puzzle together. So as collectors bring in their artifacts and share information about where they found them, it gives us a more complete picture about what was going on in the past. So working with collectors is a really great thing to do. A lot of Wisconsin archaeology sites have been brought to the attention of archaeologists by collectors. So working together, and I think in general, I think collectors and archaeologists are interested in preserving sites. And so I think there is a lot of common interest there, and we can learn a lot from one another.
Someone else emailed in and says, as a new artifact collector, are there rules or guidelines for collecting responsibly? And Tom, you might want to come.
Yes. Well, first of all, collecting artifacts is something that needs to be done with care and in a professional manner. It's important to realize that collecting artifacts on state or public properties is not allowed. It's state properties and public lands are protected under state law in Wisconsin, and also national law related to federal lands. But if artifact collectors do collect on private properties, you want to make certain you obtain permission and collect from the surface. As Danielle mentioned, much of what we do is similar to a crime scene detective. And so information that gets disturbed or dug up without the provenience or the association or the patterning recorded can be damaging to the evidence. But if things are collected on the surface and recorded so that collectors make notes as to the location of where things are found, and that's very helpful. It often is the way, as Danielle mentioned, that most archaeological sites are discovered. So always get permission. Make sure that you're not digging or damaging and collecting from the surface, and record information and share it with professional archaeologists, I think would be what I would recommend.
And here's another one. Is a meteorite considered an artifact?
No.
Nope. All right. And here's another email from Robin, who wonders about the monetary value of some of these things. How much money might an arrowhead be worth? How much is a fossil worth? I realize it varies, she says, but is there some sort of ballpark?
I mean, I can take a stab at that.
archaeologists aren't interested in the monetary value of artifacts, as Danielle indicated. These are clues or bits of information, so we don't do any type of appraisal or assigning monetary value to these things. They have value in terms of their interpretive capabilities and learning about the past.
Peter in Wadsworth, Illinois. It's your turn now. Hi, Peter.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had my wife and I were on riding our bikes near that Atzlan recreation area.
Yes.
And we were happened upon a garage sale, and we're talking to the guy that lives there, and we were asking about this barn that was nearby. And apparently the foundation of the barn was very old. It was like one of the first in the area. And the foundation of the barn had banner stones and axe heads and, you know, other stone tools and used for fill among, you know, some of the big field stone. And, you know, we were just like shocked, you know, why are all these artifacts just hanging out in this wall?
Hmm.
But, you know, when the farmers first came here, you know, why not? You know, it was just like laying around. So,
yeah, you know, again, it really goes back to the issue of where they were collected. If they were collected on this person's private property, then that person has the right to own those collections. You know, one thing I want to talk about is museums and having events like the Artifact Identification Day is a way for the general public to appreciate the Wisconsin's history and prehistory, and by collectors sort of sharing their artifacts or even considering donating them to public institutions that will display them, it just allows for more people to learn and appreciate and be educated about Wisconsin archaeology and Wisconsin history. So
mm-hmm.
This, I think, is tied into that too. By sharing them like at events like this, I think it really adds to greater understanding.
Mm-hmm. Tom, anything to add to that?
Well, I would agree with everything that Danielle said, that the archaeological resources are non-renewable resources. We have only a certain number on the landscape, and every bit of information that archaeologists learn about helps us understand the past and helps us to explain to the public more about what we know about the cultures that preceded us here.
Yeah. Thanks, Peter. Appreciate it. Sandy in Oak Creek, it's your turn now. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. I'm in Oak Creek, which is southern Milwaukee County, right along the lake. I'm also along the river in the river floodplain. About 2 years ago in my farm field, I found what I think would maybe be a large mallet. It's about it's granite, speckled, shiny black, about 10 inches tall. It's like a flattened egg with sharper edges and a pointier end, and then the bottom is flared out with a groove where maybe something could, a handle could be tied onto
yeah.
it.
It sounds like maybe you have a grooved axe. What do you think, Tom? Does that?
That's what it sounds like. This would be an implement that would be for woodworking, and likely is older than 2,000 years in our region.
And I can't come to the event this weekend. Where could I take it in the Milwaukee area?
There's a couple of places. You could go to the Milwaukee Public Museum, and the contact there would be Dawn Shear Tomei.
Shear Tomei?
That's right. And
okay.
If you go on the Milwaukee Public Museum website, you'll be able to find her contact information. You can also go to UW-Milwaukee, and there are several archaeologists on staff in the anthropology department, and I would start with John Richards.
And so what did you call it again?
It's likely a grooved axe, and so you're right. It would have been hafted on to some kind of a handle that would have likely been wood or bone or something. That those kinds of materials just don't last very long. They deteriorate quite rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, you know, sort of what's left, the axe head.
It's pretty cool.
And about 2,000 years old, you said?
Probably older than that. It could date anywhere from maybe 5 to 3,000 years ago, but those types of tools were not made, at least the grooved axe heads, during the last 2,000 to 2,500 years, so it's at least that old.
Wow.
Yeah,
cool. And it does have a plow damaged, you know,
mm-hmm.
where a plow skimmed over it, so it has a cut in it.
But, sure.
So
yeah.
I know it's very, very strong rock. Well, great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for calling, Sandy. Appreciate it. Danielle in Rice Lake. Let's go to you. Hi.
Hello. In the clearing that still exists near the Pipestone Quarry site east of Rice Lake, flagstones, large flat rocks, have been placed edge to edge about 4 feet wide by 15 feet in length. Could it have been a fireplace site from an ancient longhouse?
What do you think, Tom?
Difficult to tell. This isn't a site that I'm familiar with. Stone construction for Native American buildings in prehistory is rare in our region. Stone was used in some cases for certain types of burial preparation. So not being familiar with this site, it's difficult to tell whether it's an archaeological feature or not and how old it is. But stone construction is very rare in our region in prehistory.
All right.
You should make a journey to that area and see that Pipestone area.
Sounds interesting. You should, if you get a chance, Dan, take some photos and send those off. And
and you can certainly email me, too. And my email is Benden, B-E-N-D-E-N, at wisc.edu with maybe a little bit more information about the location of the site.
Yeah, good idea. All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Colleen in Whitewater, it's your turn. Hi, Colleen.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I have a concern. It's kind of related to a couple of your previous questions. There's a pipeline that's going through Rock County right now, and I understand it originates up north and possibly Canada. Anyway, I became kind of annoyed after learning what a friend of mine discovered after talking with some of the pipeline workers, and they were describing, you know, different bones, possibly burial sites and artifacts and, you know, just places that might have been archaeological sites that they didn't report and or didn't even bother to go around. They just kind of moved forward with the project, not wanting to get hung up. And I was just kind of curious what sort of regulations or responsibility these companies have, you know, when they dig these pipelines and go through Wisconsin. So I'm sure some of it's private land, some of it's public land.
Yep.
Are there any, you know, laws, or are they held responsible for reporting these type of things?
Yeah. Tom, you want to start?
There are state regulations and federal regulations that assist us with historic preservation. In this case, would it include archaeological sites? It's a very complex series of laws that pertain to different types of projects and properties. But generally, if there are state or federal permits or monies involved in construction projects, archaeology is required. And I'm not familiar with this specific project, but to get some idea of how this type of work is done in the state, you can visit the Wisconsin Historical Society, wisconsinhistory.org, and go to the state archaeologist's office, and there you can see the various types of legislation and laws that cover and protect archaeological resources in the state of Wisconsin and how developers that are engaged in public projects with state or federal money need to comply with those regulations.
And there's also several regulations about burial mounds, human remains, and protection of those, and that's taken very seriously. And those will also be listed and discussed on the Wisconsin Historical Society website, too.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call, too. And let's see, are there websites or books about the topic? And any sites in which Wisconsin which you can recommend? Oh my gosh, that's a pretty broad email question there, Danielle.
Sure. There's quite a few. And again, probably the best place to start is the Wisconsin Historical Society lists several of these online. But there's one by former state archaeologist Bob Birmingham. And is it Leslie Eisenberg? Is that right, Tom?
Yes.
Indian Mounds of Wisconsin. There's also a great book that came out a few years ago that talks about the archaeology of the Driftless area in southwestern Wisconsin called 12 Millennia, The Archaeology of the Upper Mississippi River Valley by Robert Bozhart and James Thieler at UW-La Crosse. There's quite a few more. Tom, do you want to add a few more?
Well, another great source is the Wisconsin Archaeological Society, that is one of the oldest continuously published journals of professional archaeology in North America, and it's published right here in Wisconsin about our state. And there's a regular publication coming out from the society on an annual basis, or at least twice a year. And there are several summary volumes that are written by different experts, depending upon what time frame is being studied. So there is a wide variety of resources. If you just get online and do a search on Wisconsin archaeology, you will no doubt connect with a number of the organizations and the books and resources that Danielle and I mentioned.
All right. Thank you very much for that comment and question. Let's go to Terry and Abrams next. Terry, hello.
Yes, good morning. I would like to ask your guests if they could comment on the easiest way or some hints that may identify reproduction, either spear points or arrowheads, with originals.
Wow. So some that have been made today to maybe look like they were made years ago. What, Danielle, a comment first?
Yeah, that's a tough one. There are some pretty skilled flint knappers now. And again, it's just unethical to flint knap and to try to pass it off as you know, something that is prehistoric. And there's a lot of flint knappers that are very ethical, and they will put their initials on a point or so on. But usually you can tell a difference because a lot of modern flint knappers aren't using prehistoric tools. So now they're getting into using, you know, metal tools in order to reproduce different kinds of technology. But It can be difficult. It can be very difficult. It takes a very skilled eye.
Tom, comment from you?
Well, I would agree with everything Danielle said. It depends on the raw material. Generally, things that are reproduced by modern flint knappers tend to be perfect with no damage to them versus archaeological specimens tend to have a certain amount of wear and damage. But this is a good example of the importance of context and why archaeologists are interested in learning about where artifacts come from. Because, again, these are clues or bits of information. We want to connect them to the landscape that they came from to, one, determine if they are legitimate, and to place them on a landscape to understand where they relate in relation to other cultures. So that's a good example of why provenience and keeping track of where an artifact came from is so important.
Josh in Hayward, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Josh.
Hey, guys. I'm disappointed that the show interferes with walleye fishing. I'll tell you, I do some deer hunting on a farm outside of New Auburn, and it's, I guess they call it the Driftless area. And the farmer that has owned that land for years found copper artifacts, you know, when they were picking rocks in the fields and whatnot. Can you talk a little bit about the copper artifacts in the state, too?
Sure.
I'm going to answer that one. That's actually related to my particular research. In our region, native peoples began to mine and produce copper tools about 6,000 years ago, possibly even somewhat earlier than that. And the primary sources of the metal were the Lake Superior Basin, the Western Great Lakes, where copper was mined, and then the glaciated portions of Wisconsin, where there are gravel beds, you can sometimes find nuggets of copper. And this copper was worked by a hot and cold hammering process along with annealing. There was no molten metal involved and no alloying. And a variety of different types of utilitarian tools were made, projectile points, woodworking tools, fishing gear. And copper use continued all the way up to the arrival of Europeans and beyond. But this very early, what we call archaic use of copper from roughly maybe 4,000 B.C. to 1,000 B.C. was primarily tools, and that sounds like what you're describing there.
Interesting. Thanks, Josh. Thank you very much for calling. And Brian in Eau Claire, I think, is up next. Brian, hello to you.
Hi. How's everybody down south?
Well, pretty fine.
Say, there was just an article, I got a couple of points. There was just an article, Leader Telegram, Eau Claire paper here, about a Native American burial site that was actually moved as a result of a lawsuit where they lost the land and was put on the shores of the I believe it's the Nemadji River in Superior. And now it's eroding, and bones are falling into the river and stuff like this, and nobody is accepting any responsibility, not even the Indians, because they say they weren't consulted when it was moved. It seems to me that somebody should step up to the plate there, not necessarily because it's Native American, but because it's a burial site.
Right. Yeah, I would definitely bring that to the attention of the Wisconsin State Archaeologist is a good place to start, and that his name is John Broyhan. And that's a really important issue that should be taken care of.
John Broyhan is the person.
That's okay. Right.
And again, you can make that contact through wisconsinhistory.org. If you go to that website, click on archaeology, you'll have access to the state archaeologist's office, and there is a burial sites preservation office as well that has the responsibility for investigating burial sites in that may be disturbed or need investigation in Wisconsin.
I want to, before we run out of time here, I want to ask you, Danielle, to go back over and talk again about this event that's coming up on Saturday.
That's right. It's the Artifact Identification Day, hosted by UW-Baraboo Sauk County. It'll run from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's free and open to the public. We encourage the people to bring in artifact collections for identification. People can come and see flint knapping demonstrations and learn how stone tools are made. And also to view collections of artifacts from local area institutions and local collectors so you can get a general idea of artifacts that we normally find in Wisconsin. And those can range from lots of different kinds of stone tools and pottery. And so there'll be a variety of things there.
And that's free. And again, it's time is 10 to 3?
10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and it's in the Joe Wankrell Cafeteria at UW-Baraboo Sauk County.
All right, and I think we have time for one more call. Charles in Cannon, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
Yes, I'm calling. I moved to Cannon up here about 7 years ago, but I grew up in southeastern Wisconsin in Kenosha County in northern Illinois area. And a friend of mine and I, we've got 500 to 700 artifacts that we've found over the years. And the thing that concerns me is, you know, a lot of this land, most of it was all private land, and now it's all being developed.
Mm-hmm.
And is there any way of preserving this, you know, like archaeologists going in there and before this construction or whatever is done on these properties?
Yeah, it really depends. As Tom had mentioned earlier, if there's any kind of federal monies or permit involved, and sometimes communities will have local ordinances that protect archaeological sites, but if any of those laws come into play, then archaeology would be done prior to development. Oftentimes with housing developments, there's really no permit and application process that has to occur. And so, unfortunately, a lot of times these sites are not preserved, and it's a shame. But so I'm not familiar with this specific area that you're talking about. I mean, I know Kenosha, but I don't know which development this is.
And that is really too bad. I hope you have a chance, Charles, to take some of those artifacts with you to the UW-Baraboo campus this coming Saturday, because I'm sure a lot of people would be interested in looking at the artifacts that you have. And thank you so much. And Danielle and Tom, thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Go to the website can we go to find out more about that event this week?
Sure. You can go to the University of Wisconsin-Baraboo Sauk County website at www.baraboo.uwc.edu. or wisconsinhistory.org at the Wisconsin Historical Society and click on Archaeology Month and Archaeology, and you'll learn about upcoming events throughout the entire state.
Perfect. Thank you both very much for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry, and thank you, Danielle.
Thanks.
Danielle Benden is the academic curator at the UW-Madison Department of Anthropology. She's the lead organizer of the second annual UW-Baraboo Sauk County Artifact Identification Day. That's Saturday, May 2nd, 10 to 3. Tom Plager, Dean and Campus Executive Officer, Associate Professor of Archaeology and Anthropology at the UW-Baraboo Sauk County. Interesting day, and it sounds like a really interesting event. Coming up, we're going to take a look at biofuels and some of the research that's going on here at Wisconsin and maybe across the country in the area of biofuels. So stay with us. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.